to check out a great book about the computer repair business, check out Daniel Hand's book at podnuts.com/Dan's book. That's podnuts.com/Dan's book. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 328, the show about computer repair tech. And it's unique in that it's for computer repair technicians by computer repair technicians. Every week we have a guest on the show who has his own shop or his own business or just works in the computer repair field and has experiences that he wants to share with us and you guys. So let's introduce this week's guest. I think it's been a long time waiting, right? We have Jeremy Lane from FastLaneTech.com. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, not much.
What is
getting ready going?
Yeah, how you been?
I've been doing good. Been really slammed, which is nice.
Oh yeah, I love when people tell me they're busy. I mean, it's the problem you want to have.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so first of all, let me ask you thank you first for coming on Podnuts Daily for the first time. I love having new guys on, new points of views, new ideas and opinions and viewpoints and facts. So first of all, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for the show. I appreciate it. I've learned a lot from it.
Oh, great. Where are you calling us from?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Nice. And what do you do out there?
I actually have a couple of things that I do. And just so you give a little heads up, I'm the owner of Fastlane Technologies. And my website's FastlanePC.com. I did use the tech site builder. And I'm Fastlane Tech in the Podnuts forums.
Okay. Fastlane. Your site is FastlanePC.com. My bad.
Yes.
Why did I just assume that it was Fastlane Tech? All right. I'm changing that on the graphic. And yes, go to FastlanePC.com. Not Fastlane Tech.
Nice. Not Fastlane Tech. No.
Okay. And that's your computer repair business.
That's my computer repair business. Yep. Yeah. First and foremost, I'm a husband and father. I have a wife and three kids. And I do have a computer shop out of my garage. I've been doing it for the last 6 years in Colorado Springs. I'm also a licensed journeyman electrician, doing electrical contracting. Control 4 home automation is something that I do also that I thought you guys would be kind of interested in. It's pretty cool. My house, I can use my smartphone and turn lights on and off and adjust a thermostat, one remote for all my devices. It's pretty cool.
Now,
so I've been doing that for a while.
No, that sounds cool. Definitely the home automation stuff sounds interesting.
Yep.
But what is a journeyman electrician for those who don't know?
Well, when you first start out as an electrician, you get your first license is residential, which means you can pull a wire through walls in a house. And then the next license is a journeyman, which means you can do everything from residential all the way up to commercial and industrial. So I've spent my time doing industrial work and climbing through weird places and handling heavy pipe and getting dirty. So
nice.
But the next step up after that is master's, and I'm actually kind of shooting for that just for the sake of having it.
Yeah.
I don't really need it though.
That's scary, man, handling high voltage.
Yeah, what you guys call high voltage, you think of 120 volt or over in Europe, the 240, 220 stuff. That stuff's not that bad. You get shocked by it. It's not too bad, but you live with it.
Have you dealt with much higher voltage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 480 up to 13,800 volts. So, yeah.
Did you get shocked by it?
No. Okay. No, the highest I've been shocked by it was 120.
Okay.
So just residential stuff. Yeah, that stuff I don't have to mess with. That'll hurt you. Lose parts.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, it must mean you're a good electrician then.
That's
the worst that happened to you.
Sweet. Absolutely.
All right. And then you said home automation on installing. All this stuff dovetails nicely with computer repair, I bet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually kind of had a low self-esteem growing up. I always wanted my own computer business. I thought, I could never do it. So I used to do electronics and got messing with that. And then I went from electronics to electrical contractor. I thought it was kind of cool. It's basically it's electronics in large scale.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy. I enjoyed doing that. But, you know, I'm not the, kind of guy who likes to always, work on my tools and climb through ditches and dig holes and all that stuff. I like staying clean. So they kind of dovetail together. When I met a friend of mine who helped me get my business started with the computer repair business, he encouraged me to do it and go full time with it. So, and he's the one that used to do part time with. Now I've gone full time as of about a month and a half ago doing this full time. I basically have two full time jobs doing electrical contracting and doing computer repair on the side. And I'm also currently a college student. I have a triple major doing pastoral ministries, Bible and theology, and pastoral care and counseling. And I also intern as a pastoral intern at my local church. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I teach a one-hour class for homeschoolers about computer hardware from eighth grade to adults. And the class is called Demystifying Computers. A lot of people are freaked out about what's inside a computer. So I mainly open up computers. My first demo my kids love is I have two computers identical to cases. One actually is a real computer. It's actually my little Minecraft server for my son I play with. And the other one's actually, it's just a computer with all the guts ripped out. I threw a bunch of wires and cables and a couple dead video cards and stuff in there. And I have one big piece of paper, and I have popped the cover open and have both of them open at the same time. It's going to, what's in this one? They pull all the stuff out, and then there's a big paper that says magic on it. And I said, well, we're going to prove there's no magic. And then we open the second computer, and so there's actual parts, and they all have names and meanings. And that's really cool. And my customers have actually taught me how to be able to clearly explain how those pieces work together. So if I can teach it at an eighth grade level, I can teach it from anyone who's, you know, from eighth grade level all the way up to their, you know, their 80s.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. I don't know where you find time to do all that stuff.
Well, I have a great wife who supports me and can help hold down the fort. She has all my administrative stuff. I just go out and do the work, and she handles the rest of it. So she's awesome.
Oh, that sounds great.
Absolutely. She's a little bit of a geek too. She gets picked up on all this computer stuff and all the stuff I say back to customers. She hears me all the time. She's actually pretty good at telling the customers what she thinks the problem is. So I'm pretty proud of her.
Nice. So, oh, that's well done. Yep.
And she's a gamer, so that's nice.
Awesome.
So
cool.
So like I said before, I recently took my business full time. Was two part-time jobs, went to full 2-time jobs plus schooling. So now I'm doing this. So, and it's been doing pretty good. I've been kind of scared. I took the plunge and did a lot of things. I revamped all my paperwork. I redid the logo, redid my website, and that's why I bought the tech site builder, and just kind of wanted to redo everything and just want to start from the ground up and have a fresh, clean slate. So I'll get into some more things later about some of the things I've done that I think really helped my business. I think you guys can benefit from.
Awesome. I'm taking a look at your website right now. I like the logo. That's like it's like a road.
Yeah, I actually paid for it. It's expensive, but it was worth it.
That's awesome.
And my main goal is I wanted to put it on my truck, on the topper on my pickup. I have a really nice Tundra. I'm a Toyota fan. So I have a nice Tundra with a topper, and so I want to be able to put it with a black background where the tinted windows are in the back. So it'll look really nice on their two-tone colors. It's not that bad. I priced it out. It's only $75 per window, and I have three windows. So for advertising, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, and a logo like that will definitely stand out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the color scheme. I like what you did where you took the actual graphic away on the top where your phone number is for the tech site builder. It looks really cool, mm-hmm. with the black background. And yep. your key item is a picture of you on there. That really creates the reality with people. A lot of guys who don't do that and then say, I need more business, that's the main thing I would suggest if anybody doesn't have their picture up there.
Yeah, Coloradoans are pretty excited about the Colorado. So I made sure I did a nice outdoor shot. And another thing you inspired me, Steve, was a couple of years, I think it was last year, you were losing weight. So at that time, I was about, my weight was a ballpark about 200 pounds. I was at 210 before that, but I actually started losing weight, and I'm at 175. So I got two more weeks to go in the program I'm using, and I'll be down to 162. So that's pretty exciting.
What program are you using?
I'm using one called Ideal Protein. My doctor put me on. And it's basically like Jenny Craig, but the doctor's version.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I don't get the good food. It's basically a protein powder I got to mix up, and I eat it every day instead of my meals. And then the only thing I get, I have to eat like a bunch of salad and a bunch of vegetables. You get tired of it pretty fast. So I'm looking forward to actually getting some carbs next week. That's really? On my phase two. So.
Oh, nice. I'm glad it's working for you. Good job on that.
It is. Thanks, bro.
Awesome.
One other thing I thought was kind of funny, I thought you guys got a kick out of. I was recently down to Best Buy, and I know we like Best Buy stories, but I got a good and bad one.
Yeah.
The good one is anybody ever heard of Windows Registry Certification? I was down there picking up a computer from my customer, and they were down me paying for it, and I was going to pick it up, and they bought a new one, and I basically set it up for them, got all the bloatware off it and all the crapware, and pulled everything off of it, and then you put antivirus and all that stuff on it for them. So I was down there picking up, and so the salesman was talking to him, say, you should do this, this, and this, and this, and all that, and, Geek Squad, you should use our program. So I already got a geek, it's right here, he's just walking the door, and
right.
So I came in listening to him, and they said, well, are you Windows Registry Certified?
They asked you?
They asked me, and I said, well, what's that? And they said, I've never heard of that. Well, that's what our Geek Squad told us to tell our customers. And I said, no, I guess I'm not. I said, I've never heard of that. As far as I know, I've never heard of it. So I got home, and it was bugging me. And I said, I'm going to call the Geek Squad. So I called my local geek squad and I asked them, and then I called the manager too, because I didn't believe it. But he said in a nutshell, you know, basically to be certified, you must know how to run a registry cleanup utility. And I'm like,
to be certified? I mean, they asked you as a customer if you're certified.
That's what they said Windows Registry certification was, is if you can run Windows Registry cleanup utility. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm Windows Registry certified. So all the techs out there, you are now Windows Registry certified. Just want to let you know that. If you've run CCleaner, you're on the ball.
Wow, that's amazing.
The manager told me it's a Geek Squad branding that they use to kind of make it for more sales. It's not really anything. They can't really say Windows is certified in this. And I said, good, because that's a legal thing that you're claiming that Microsoft has certified you to do this. And they said, well, that's why we call it Windows Registry Certified, because it's our branding. Well, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but they're using Windows in it. That's a Microsoft
brand.
That's
what I thought. I thought that was pretty interesting. So, but then there's the bad Best Buy story. I was bragging to a customer when I first started hitting some higher-end customers about, you know, how I'm cheaper than, you know, I'm better than Best Buy. I come in behind them, clean up a lot of stuff, and they have a lot of complaints and stuff. I actually lost a customer because I did one simple step. I didn't defrag her old Windows XP machine. And so she said, well, you should stick with being an electrician and not be a computer tech. I paid somebody else to come out here, and they defragged my computer, and now it's working great.
Wait. So you lost a customer because you didn't defrag? How did she ask you?
No, she called somebody else up, said it was still kind of sluggish, and thought she'd have somebody else come in behind me.
Right.
And all they did is went over there and did a defrag. Well, to my defense, I did tell her she should have defragged. I said, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to charging her hourly. I'm not going to sit here on your old Windows XP machine and watch this thing defrag for the next 2 hours. I said, run the defrag. I'll leave it running. If you want, no, I got to check email. And when I get off, I'll do it. So she didn't follow through what I asked her to do.
Right.
But I did lose her as a customer. And I did offer, you know, say, hey, I'll come back and do a free cleaning, every, you know, as you want, whatever you want, you know, my time for 2 hours or whatever. But that was a couple of years ago. I learned a valuable lesson from that, to be thorough. And then if I have to sit there in front of the machine, then I have to sit there in front of the machine.
Right. Or at least start it. Or something.
Right.
That's interesting. Okay. But that's a Best Buy. How's that a Best Buy story?
Because I sat there bragging about how I'm better than Best Buy guys. So I learned that pride comes before a fall, and I fell pretty hard. So.
Oh, man. That sucks. I cannot believe a defrag did it for her. What was her hard drive in definite need of one?
Oh, it was bad. It was like a 40 gig. It was running really slow. She was running Windows XP. I think it was even before Service Pack 1, had no updates on it, and just wondering why she had all kinds of issues. I spent, you know, a couple hours, probably 3-4 hours, just getting all the updates on it, getting all up to date, getting all cleaned up, getting some tools on it, utilities, getting it cleaned off. I probably spent 4 hours, and I was at the 4-hour mark. At the time, I was $75 an hour, and she's like, you know, you're $300 already. I can't pay anymore. And I'm like, well, this is all I can do. You know, I said, I can sit here or you can do it. So, but yeah. It was pretty straightforward. It wasn't too bad.
I see. Interesting.
Yep.
I mean, it's an interesting lesson. I mean, I don't know what the moral of that story is. I mean, defrags are usually not needed. I mean, usually, especially on newer machines. But I mean, I guess in special cases when they actually will make the difference, you got to recognize it and do it.
First, it's a really old one, too. That was the main problem.
Yeah. Interesting. Good one.
Well, one of the things I've also noticed, just listening to the show for the last year and a half or so, I've realized that there are a lot of different styles of running a computer business. I would say majority of the techs I can connect with, and some of them I don't agree with, but it's not wrong, but just different.
Mm-hmm.
I love the variety, and you know, some of the techs, that how they run their business, I don't agree with, not personally. It's just how they say, I think you should do this with your business and this and this and this.
Right.
And it's a personal preference. It works for me. It works for them, and that's just how they do things. And again, that's just a little bit of variety. So,
do you have any specifics?
Like,
how do you run your business? How a different? I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here.
No.
How do you like to run your business that's different than maybe the way some other guys do it?
I guess, and maybe I'm hearing it wrong. I guess some of the guys I hear to push money. Make sure you're worth your time. Which I agree. I absolutely agree. You're worth your time. But in my opinion, I think customer is king. Bottom line, especially in the town I'm in, Colorado Springs. If you were to pull up Google places and search computer repair tech, I mean, looks like the chicken pox. It's all over the place.
Right.
And so I'm trying to compete with guys who are like $25 an hour on Craigslist and not really competing, I should say, but I see these guys out there doing that, and they're out there being greedy, you know, with the money. And we're a big tech industry here in the Springs. We actually had Intel's here. We had we have HP here. We have Quantum and other companies here that work on a lot of the hard computer hardware and the chips that go into the technology and memory chips, hard drive manufacturing. A lot of stuff is here. So you got a lot of guys when the economy tanked, they're laid off and they think they can go run a shop because they set out, you know, they were HP tech support for a while and they're actually making us techs look bad. So I try to make sure that first and foremost that I'm serving. That is my job. My job is to serve.
Right.
And I'm there to serve until the job is done. Then I'm rewarded with the financial aspect at the end. That's how I look at it. And I tell you what, my customers are all my friends. Every single one of them. I don't have any customers I don't get along with, any customers that I don't have issues with. And the ones that I do, it's very simple. If they don't like my pricing or they have a complaining about what I charge, I tell them what I expect to be paid. If they tell me they don't like it, I ask them clearly, what do you think my time is worth to you? They give me a number. I say, write the check for that. Next time they call, I'm too busy. I'll sit on the couch on my butt with a remote, you know, watching TV with my family instead of go work for them because it's not worth my time.
Right.
So that's basically what I'm saying. And I'm not saying they're all that there are guys out there who are greedy and pushing for the money thing and all that. But I'm just saying, sometimes my personal ethics, I think supersede the serving versus the business aspect. And I'm more of a tech than I am more of a computer business owner. So, and I know one of the guys mentioned the E-Myth, which is a great book to read if anybody wants to understand where you stand, where you understand where you are as a computer repair, as a business owner. If you're where you stand as far as that goes, if you're a manager, or if you're the guy who actually has the dream and the vision where it's going. But I'm just a technician. That's what I am, and I own a job, and I have no problem with that.
I see. Well, yeah, I guess if you have no problem with it, that's cool.
Yep.
And I have not read E-Myth yet. I keep hearing it's really awesome.
It's a pretty good book.
Yeah. Okay, I want to take a quick minute here and talk about our sponsor. So let me ask you guys this question. Are you overwhelmed with service calls and repairs? Go from chaos to control in 30 days or less, money back guaranteed. I'm talking about our sponsors over at M Help Desk. Computer repair tracking made easy. This is what we guys as technicians want. What is M Help Desk? M Help Desk is a web-based app that helps computer technicians keep track of their service requests. But unlike other solutions, M Help Desk includes billing features like estimating and invoicing software that other solutions lack. You can access anywhere at any time. It has awesome billing and invoicing features, free iPhone, iPad, and Android app. They offer self-service client support, hassle-free daily data backups. Check out the free trial. There's no contracts to sign. There's no setup fees. There's no cancellation fees. Just go to podnuts.com/mhelpdesk. The site is very slick, very self-explanatory. They break it down. They keep it simple. There's a little video there I highly suggest you watch to show exactly what they can do for you. And it's quite awesome for us techs who need this bit of help and need a way to track our things and do the invoicing and all that good stuff that we'd probably rather not be doing. We'd probably rather be fixing computers. So go with a simple, awesome, easy solution. Again, go to podnuts.com/mhelpdesk. Check them out. Now back to the show.
Like I said, my shop is out of the garage. My office actually is in the house. I have a lower level in there, and the layout's pretty easy. I can probably, some of the guys on the video can see, I've got two screens up with two-port KVM switches, and I just can go between the two of those, and it works pretty well. Got some pretty cool stuff here recently. I had a doctor's office, a friend of mine who owns a doctor's office, and he decided to take his practice and move with a larger one. So it's pretty full right now of computers, and he just said, come on and get them. He says, I don't need them, and I've got a firewall behind me. I've never played with a real firewall before. So I'm going to play with that, and gave me a nice 24-port gigabit manageable switch. Never messed with that, so I set that up the other day. So I'm learning a lot of stuff about that. Gave me two servers, seven PCs. Most of them are little P4s. They're fine.
Now, who was this who gave it to you?
A friend of mine who's my family doctor. He's also a good friend of mine. Again, a computer customer.
I see. So he wanted help with his business, or he just wanted to get rid of this stuff?
Well, he's shutting his business down, merging with a larger business and to become part under their practice, and he's going to still be a doctor. But they bought all of his equipment, but they didn't want his computer stuff, and he didn't know how to get rid of it. And so he called me up, asked if I was interested, and I said absolutely. So I went and spent 4 hours on last Friday and cleaned out all his computers and took all the gadgetry, and I've got a bunch of memory over here I got to go through and test, and some, you know, video cards he had laying in the back. And so it's pretty cool. I'm excited to play with all the stuff.
Oh, very cool. That is cool, getting stuff like that.
So, oh, yeah.
And what do you have? You actually have a hardware firewall now. Who makes it?
It's by WatchGuard, and it's called Firebox X. It's one of their last models. They just stopped supporting it back in December, but you can actually get support for it. I called them on the phone today and asked them what I could do about getting it transferred to my name. And just before the show came on, I got the email confirming it could transfer it to my name. So now I can actually get the most recent firmware and software for the device as of the contract ended back in May. So now it's mine. I get to play with it, tinker with it, and see how to set up a real firewall.
Nice. I know Matt Rainey uses the WatchGuard routers on PodNuts Pro. Yeah, and so he'll probably be talking about them later tonight on PodNuts Pro.
Nice. Yeah, I've been looking at, been trying to catch up on all the PodNuts shows. As I was taking my business full time, I usually listen to a show or two a week, and I've been way behind, so haven't gotten any caught up, and I'm got about six of them more to catch up. So.
Cool.
But you know what? I want to catch up on the PodNuts Pros. I definitely want to get those.
Yeah, a lot of guys like them. Like guys who are wanting to get into the business area.
Right.
But all we got going now, right now, is PodNuts Daily. I haven't done a PodNuts, actually, it's a PodNuts show for a while now. We got to get that going again.
Yeah, I saw that.
I have a couple guys I'm going to probably be doing an interview one-on-one who have released some products that I think. You know, that you guys are using in the field. I mean, that's how I usually find out. Somebody will write me and say, we're using this new antivirus. Why don't you contact the owner and get him on the show? So we might be doing a couple of that. Yeah. So we might be doing a couple of them soon. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Cool.
All right. What else?
Well, the thing I thought was kind of cool. I've been looking for a way to do credit card processing. I haven't done that. I have a little Droid 2 Android phone, and I've been using a company called PhoneSwipe.
Yeah,
and it actually works pretty good. If you get this tiny little device, it plugs in the earphone set or the earphone jack in the top of your Droid. You just swipe the credit card, and it works pretty well. So, in the processing fee, I'm doing their cheapest package is something like 2% for if I swipe it, 3% if I manually type it in, and it's not too bad. So, but I've only done about maybe six swipes on it since I've had the business open, but it makes it convenient. At least another option for my customers. So. Most of my existing customers, I have about 250 clientele for the last 6 years I've been doing this. And most of them already know I'm either cash or check. And so they're kind of excited when they hear now that I'm credit card. And so it helps me get more customers also.
I agree. It's huge these days. Some kind of type of way of swiping credit card. I never heard of phone swipe. I mean, a lot of guys were using SquareUp.
I looked at them first, and then someone else recommended that I should check out PhoneSwipe because their rates are better,
yeah.
Especially if you get above $1,000 in swipes a month. They actually have a cheaper rate that you could use if you get over 1,000, which is cheaper than the other company you're talking about, the SquareUp.
Right. This is cool. Yep. It's always good to know different competitors on this. Awesome, man.
So one of the biggest things that's been helping me is... I've offered a maintenance contracts. I've heard one of the guys talking about maintenance contracts. Daniel Hanna, actually, I was chatting with him when I bought his book, chatting about back and forth on email. He says, you're going to starve to death if you just try to do repairs. He said, you got to do maintenance contracts. And he's right. I've probably sold, probably 20 maintenance contracts. I'm charging $200 for the maintenance contract for the year. My maintenance contract, the way I have it set up is I set up LogMeIn free on their computer, to their email address. So if a tech comes behind me and they decide to go with somebody else, I'm not stuck with it. They can use it for themselves, or the tech that comes behind me can use their account that they have. So I do that, set up remote access. I either go to them or they come to me, and I clean up their computer, get all the malware off it, viruses, whatever's on it. And then I schedule for 6 months to call them, schedule for that month to call them, remote in, and go ahead and do a cleanup in 6 months. They also get, because if they do my maintenance package, they get my hourly rate half off throughout the year.
I see.
So that really has been a big seller. Been trying to look at other companies here in the area, here in the Colorado Springs area, and try to compete with them. And I basically took the best of what they had, the best of what I think my time's worth, and how I could negotiate that whole thing out. So I've been selling a lot of them. My existing customers, I've offered 10% off. For the first year, for being loyal customers, the easiest customers to maintain are the ones you already have. So I want to keep those ones happy. Otherwise, I've jacked my rate up a little bit. I used to be $75 an hour. Now I'm $79 an hour. And typically most of my service calls were about 2 hours. So I went ahead and just did a flat rate coming to you, just figured in 2 hours, and I jacked up a little bit to $159. I figured if I have to do a credit card swipe, it's going to be about 2 to 4%. If I'm doing credit card swiping, I'll at least recoup that money out of that. A couple dollars extra.
Sure. That's a good rate.
Yep. So I've also learned to have some various services, being an electrician and working with electrical things in the past. I used to play with things and take things apart. Monitors. I actually have been repairing a couple monitors. Here in Colorado Springs, the capacitors dry out really fast. It's so dry here, there's lack of humidity, and I replace those, and those are really easy to fix. I go down, spend maybe 10, 15 bucks in capacitors. It takes about 30 minutes to repair it, and I'm basically just made $80 in an hour. $80 in a half hour, so it's 160 an hour.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just, if I can get those knocked out. So I got a couple of those. Those are good.
Is that mainly what goes wrong with them, the caps?
Here, yeah, definitely here in the Springs. I see that a lot in the TVs. I actually have done a couple of flat panel LCD screens of TVs, same thing, and charge the same rate, and it's cheaper than the computer, the sound shop guys here. They're $150 to come to your house. I actually have the guys, people bring it to me if they're smaller ones, and repair it, get the caps, and go that way. It's worked out pretty good.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool.
Do a little laptop repair, desktop repair. One thing I think with some of the guys, if they're interested in getting into, would be kind of cool. I'm doing a Logitech camera system installations. Some small business around here want security cameras. And so what they do is they all just basically plug into the wall, and they could be connected over along on the same circuit. And they just goes, it's like having a Cat 5 basically in the wall by using electrical power lines. These cameras mount, you plug them into an outlet, and then they're done. That's it. And then you plug into an outlet in the wall somewhere else in the building, and then you plug your computer into it. It can either be plugged in the network, or if you plug directly into the computer, if you want to dedicate that computer for recording the video. It's got nice high def playback, and it also records audio. It only records when there's motion, so you're not wasting all the hard drive storage.
It gets high def over the electrical lines?
Yep. It's a Logitech camera system. You can look online there, go to Logitech and go to the security stuff. It's really easy to set up. Best Buy sells it. Really easy moneymaker. I charge my $79 an hour rate. And I just did booked a small homeless shelter here in the area, Salvation Army. And I'm doing their camera systems. And I'm going to do Cat 5 instead of doing it over the power lines because they have a larger panel. As an electrician, I understand this. It had been the same phase. So because they're not, I'm just going to run Cat 5 to each one, put in one big plug strip from like Home Depot, and they'll all plug into one plug strip, and it all comes back from the camera to the little PoE device, and then it plugs right into the computer, and then works great. So I installed one on there. They loved it, and they want a second one put in, and so it was an easy $1,600.
Wow. How much are the cameras?
The cameras are about $250 each, ballpark, and then the master system is about $350. They have an internal version and an outside version that work really well. They're pretty robust, and they work pretty well. I'm impressed with them.
That's pretty neat.
You could also remote into them, which is kind of nice. I played with it just out of curiosity. There is a little workaround if they don't want to pay the $80 a year to remote into the systems. Log me in. You can see the camera system and be able to play back and all that stuff through it. So that's pretty cool. You can look on your phone like that and see it live feeds. But if you want to be able to play back and go back to different events, you actually have to pay for their $80 a year service. But it's not too bad.
It's really neat. So they plug into the walls. That's very cool.
Yep. Absolutely. So it's pretty cool. And then Control 4, I talked about that, the home automation thing. If you're interested in checking out Control 4, you can probably talk to some dealers in your area if you like to do programming. Go to control4.com, the number 4, and you can check that out. It's pretty cool.
What is it?
The home automation website.
Okay.
That I'm talking about. It's the company that that sells the product. I install it and program it. And so if you want to learn about programming and just branch out, and because there's a lot of networking involved, and some of these AV guys that do the installation don't really understand a lot of the networking, have a lot of problems. And I've partnered with a guy here doing the networking piece, and it works out pretty well. So
it's difficult.
Well, they actually recommend you sit through a training class. But if anybody had done any basic programming, I mean, we were talking even like back to like GW Basic back mm-hmm. in DOS days or whatever. It's pretty easy. It's a GUI. It's a drag and drop. So you can just, one pane says, basically shows the device. The middle pane is actually what you're going to do with it. And then the device on the far right, or the panel on the far right, says how you want to program it. So if I want to say when light turns on, make the radio turn on. So you can say, click on the light switch, go on the right-hand side, go to the radio, and then just drag and drop. There's a little column on the bottom that says, what do you want to do when it opens, and click turn on light or turn on radio, and then drag and drop, and it's done. It's really simple. If you were ever to get into more of the higher end audio or higher end home automation stuff, you have to be a C++ programmer to get into a lot of that stuff. And I'm just not that smart.
It takes a lot of time too. I don't know if it's smart.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot of time.
Exactly. I'm not that, I guess I'm smart enough not to mess with it.
I see. So this is like X10, but looks like an upgraded version. Like, so this is what
it does. It's similar to X10, but it's not over the power. X10 is actually really flaky. As an electrician, I tell you, I don't like X10. I hate it. This actually it's basically like Bluetooth, but it's called Zigbee. You can Google that. It's an 802.11 or 802. Series. It uses what's something called mesh networking. And it's pretty cool. So basically if one device goes out, it just reroutes itself to the other devices and they all talk to each other.
Wow.
So the cool thing is the devices, like the switches and everything in the house, they're physical switches. So if the controller goes down, which it is, it's a little Ubuntu box. If the controller does go down, the switches, everything still work just fine. So there's no, it doesn't like your whole house doesn't stop working.
Right, I see. So, is it expensive? Yeah. I mean, this is.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive. It's not too bad. Yeah. I would say it's actually considered a medium home automation system. Mm-hmm. If you go over like the Microsoft system uses what's called Z-Wave, which is a offshoot of Zigbee. Z-Wave is kind of wants to be the standard, but they're not quite getting there. They're working on one of the two fighting over between becoming the standard. It works very similar in that aspect.
I see. It looks very cool. I like the site. Check it out, control4.com. And is there any way to become a dealer of them? And do you get certain rates, or do you have to just call and buy them from them?
Yeah. Well, basically, I'll tell you straight up, the rate's about, the markup I recommended is about 40% markup. It's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So typically a house my size, I'm 2,000 square foot, it's about 15 grand to put it in. And that's if you're controlling all the lights and switches in the house, your HVAC system, and you're controlling all of your AV equipment, which is kind of nice. If you do that, it's about 15 grand with installation. It's not too bad. It really isn't. And then you get remote access. Like I said, you can get on your phone, you can anywhere in the world, you can log in, you can interface with some cameras. I'm a Panasonic camera dealer I work with. They do Panasonic cameras. So it's kind of cool.
And you can turn on your TV and stuff like that.
You can do all kinds of stuff. Yeah, kind of cool. When I'm demoing it to customers, when I used to sell it, I would actually log in my phone and say, watch, I'll get my wife to call me. So I'll log in on my phone, turn the lights off in the living room or something, and turn it back on and off. The next thing I know, I'll say, now wait a few seconds. She'll call, are you messing with the system again? I'll say, see? And then they're like, wow, that's really cool. You know, so
that is neat. That's cool. Good demonstration.
I know one of the earlier shows I listened to, someone asked a question about the best way to set up or keeping passwords for like remote access with maintenance packages that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep a document would log me in. I keep it on my server, so there's no access to it unless I log in with a login name and password. And so if I'm at my desk getting ready to log into a customer's computer, all I'll do is I'll just copy and paste it from a Word document. It's pretty archaic the way I do it, but it works really well because I can just remote into it, copy and paste it in, log in, and I'm right in front of the computer, and I can shut it down. There's no one has access to it except me. So I don't do anything like you know through Dropbox or anything where there's a possibility you could get those things.
Right.
So
I got you. That's a good way of doing it.
So on the bench right now, I've got a teenager's laptop with viruses and malware. I had to pave and nuke it. It was pretty bad one. Nice. I usually try to get them back to the way they are. I don't like to pave and nuke a lot. I kind of see it as a challenge to try to actually get it working the way it was. Fabs auto backup, gotta love it. All their settings are back. I had the teenager ask me, "We didn't do anything to it. It looks the same." And I love that. That was a compliment to Fab's Auto Backup.
Yes, yes.
So all the settings were there. Everything that he liked was all there. I've got two remote accesses that I set up. I just sold two more maintenance contracts. They're first time cleanups, and they said that they don't need to bring it to me. I can just log in. So we set up over the phone with them. Told them how to set it up, and then once we got it all set up, they're just good to go.
Now, how do you sell your maintenance contracts? How do you promote them?
I actually do a monthly newsletter to my existing customers. And then one of the best ways I sell my maintenance contracts, for someone to bring me their computer, it costs $79. I say, hey, for about $130 more, you can have a maintenance contract. I'll support you for a year and this job will be free. And so basically they pay $200. The laptop job, whatever it was, you know, something simple like, you know, I was on it anyways, and usually I do a courtesy cleanup. You know, if they had a glitch or something, and I'm go ahead and clean it up as a preventative issue, because maybe that's what all it is. Maybe it's malware or spyware. And so I'll go ahead and run all the through the gamut. And then after that, it's pretty much cleaned up anyways. So I've already done the job, and it's a great upsell. The easiest upsell is the customers I go to them. Now it's only a $40 difference. I'm there at their house anyways. I'm like, I can go ahead and set up Log Me In right now, and I can remote in later tonight and finish your cleanup, and you can have start your maintenance package. And those are the quickest way I'm selling them to new customers.
I see.
So my existing customers, you know, I've got quite a few feedback on my email. They all love it. They want to do it. They're just waiting for funds and all that stuff.
Yes.
And they're giving big comments on my feedback on my website and everything. So the other thing I'm messing with is I'm, again, reaching out and try things. I'm modding a Dell Streak 5. The guy broke off the power adapter. The inside looks like kind of like a where the iPods plug into, those little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's broke off. I looked for motherboards on them, the logic boards on them. They're about as much as a new one.
Right.
And so I said, I don't think I'm going to replace it for you. And he says, well, is there anything you can do to make it work? He says, I don't really mess with a lot. It's just a toy for me. So what I can do is I can take your USB adapter you broke. I can actually hardwire it, solder it in, maybe fill the hole with, hot glue or something, keep you from pulling it out. And that would at least probably get you to work. And he says, you know what? If you do it for $80, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, hey, bring it by. So I'm going to try that one and see what happens. It'll be kind of fun to play with.
Yeah, that's a neat. Oh, man.
He said, it may or may not work. So either way, you're paying me $80. And he says, that's fine.
Are they tough to open? Have you tried opening it?
He said he actually opened it himself. I said, before you bring it to me, put it all back together. I don't want to lose any screws. I'm not taking it apart. I'm responsible for anything damaged.
Right.
I'm not going there. So, and a lot of techs agree that, you know, don't bring me taking stuff that's taken apart. I want to take it apart because I don't remember how to put it back together. You doing it won't help me.
I know. I used to call it laptop in a box.
Exactly.
That's what I used to get sometimes with the screws all under like the cardboard flaps of the box and spilling out. Oh, it was terrible.
Absolutely. So a little tip I thought was kind of cool. Someone brought me an Acer Aspire 1, wouldn't boot, and it's found that's a common issue. It's a BIOS glitch. All you do is go to the Acer Aspire 1 website for that model, put it in a little USB drive, it updates the BIOS, and you there's a key sequence that forces it to tell it to update from the thumb drive.
Really?
Takes about 10 minutes after it's done. It was up and running, and she was happier than anything. She was happy to pay my full 2-hour charge, including me researching it. So she ended up paying me 2 hours instead of my first hour, my one hourly rate.
Nice.
So she was totally happy. She said, hey, I'll have to go out and buy another one. All her files were there. And it was an easy fix. It took me about an hour to actually research it. And then once I got it all figured out how to do it and tried it. So maybe the job was maybe an hour and 15 minutes, but I went and charged the 2 hours because that's what I quoted her.
That's awesome. And there's a couple of reasons why I like jobs like that. Number one, they're super happy that you fixed it.
Right.
Number
exactly.
two, you now know how to do that again
exactly.
in the future. I remember when I started Podnuts Daily, those were the things I wanted to tell people about because I just learned how to do this and now I don't have to ever learn again. And it's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you just keep building. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. That's cool.
Yeah, I've got a Sony job, Sony power jack replacement, Sony screen replacement from the same customer. She's a writer in the area, pretty popular writer. So she asked me to do it. She says her life's on it. So I'm doing one laptop at a time, but there's two jobs. She also does marketing and advertising. She's going to help me with my marketing and advertising. We're just going to barter this job.
Nice.
She'll pay for the parts and I'll do the labor.
Sweet.
I just got another, right before I just typed these in my show notes real quick. I had another teenager laptop drop off, needing cleaning. I have no idea with it. It's just sitting behind me. I haven't looked at it yet. And then I got the camera system I'm installing. I got that job all day tomorrow. So, today I went down and took a risk on a rear projection TV. One of my customers, computer customers called me up. He said, hey, I know you're pretty savvy with electronics and I thought maybe you'd give my computer or my TV repair, a shot. He says, you know, it's making a funny noise and all that. So I said, I'll come look at
Mitsubishi?
It.
Mitsubishi?
Actually, it was an RCA.
Okay.
And so I went back there. It was 52-inch. He pulled it out for me, and I took the cover off. And I thought, you know, I have no idea what the problem is. I turned it on. It makes a hissing sound. I thought, well, maybe it's bad caps. That's real popular here, but haven't seen that on rear projection.
I have.
Pulled it apart. And so I said, well, go ahead and turn it on. And all of a sudden, I hear the hissing. I look down. There's sparks all over the place. I'm like, sweet. You got fireworks back here. So what it was a capacitor that actually had had a bad solder joint, and it actually burnt through a hole through the board. So I said, well, here's a possibility. I said, if it's just a bad capacitor and the capacitor just burned a hole in the board, we could actually probably move the capacitor over, lay the lead down, mm-hmm. and scrape off the the PCB where there's contactless copper if it has a big solder joint. If it doesn't, then we're kind of hosed. We have to buy a new board, and this TV sold out. I'm going to be able to do it. So I pulled it all apart, took a risk. I flipped it over. Sure enough, there was a nice big solder joint.
Yeah.
I laid it flat, scraped it off, put a little resin on there and went ahead and soldered it, and has a nice big lump of solder on there. Fired it up. He's happy. I made an easy $160 by going over there. It took me 10 minutes to repair it.
10 minutes. So, wow.
It was 10 minutes.
It was that easy to get to that board?
Oh, yeah. It was. It had a bunch of little plugs in it. I took a picture of all the plugs, what I always do, unplugged all the plugs, flipped it over. It just had a little two little clips holding it in, or about, I don't know, maybe more than that. Probably about two clips and a couple little tiny clips on the side holding the board, and flipped the board over. I could see it clearly, scraped it off, cleaned it off, and it was done in 10, 15 minutes,
nice,
if that.
Nice.
So he was happy, and I was happy to walk away with a check, and we're all good.
Very awesome, man. I love those jobs.
I took your advice when I did the tech site builder about the Google AdWords. Did it for about a month and a half. I made no money off it. I paid money out exclusively to Google. I know in different places it makes sense. Here, and one of the other guys mentioned it, and I think it totally makes sense. Google Places makes more sense because this is a high-tech area.
Right.
Most people here aren't going to click on the ads because they know their ads.
Right.
So I get more. As soon as I turn on Google Places, I've been getting hits a lot and lots of phone calls from Google Places.
Nice.
That's how I got the little Dell streak came from there. The Sony power jack and screen replacement came from there. So I would say this guy, the one I got three jobs from, the one with the TV repair plus two other computer jobs I did for him already, those came through those. And so those have all been good payoffs. So I turned off the Google AdWords and I'm just using Google Places. For me, Google AdWords has cost me about $7 a click in my area.
Wow.
Just so many doing
wow.
It. Yeah.
I know it does need like a refresh. When I created it, it was like I was paying $2 to $3, I think, a click. And that was the max. I mean, that was just my max. So I wasn't even paying that much usually. And it just got skyrocketed. So yeah, I know that.
My max is $7.50, and then the max on my Google Places is only $4. So I'm doing that.
Nice, nice, so good tip. Really good tip.
Yep. So I want to give a shout out to a Podlust listener. He also does web hosting. He's digipark.com, DigiPark.com. So if you need hosting, he's affordable. He's a local guy. If he gives you a hard time, call me and I'll take care of him for you. So he's a good guy. He does my hosting on my site. The thing I like about him, I used to do one-on-one. But I had problems with doing bulk mailings with one-on-one. I had to upgrade when I went to use your site. Builder, it required
PHP,
and I had to pay a larger fee to go with one-on-one, and I had to buy a bunch of stuff, and it just wasn't worth it. So one-on-one's been good to me, don't get me wrong. I had no problems with them up until I had a problem. I had to update my website, and then I had issues. But I've been using one-on-one since I got here 6 years ago, so I hate to break off that partnership, but my buddy here, since he said he was going to barter some work and stuff like that with hosting and all that, we're definitely going to go ahead and do that. So
yeah,
I went ahead and paid
him. If you have a local guy, that's great. If you know somebody,
yeah. And and I'm not really big on the website side, so he is a website guy. So we're gonna do that. I'm gonna refer. I get a lot of people asking about websites. I do a lot of small business, so I'll just refer them to him. And then he gets a lot of people ask if he repairs their computers because they have problems trying to connect to their server. It turns out it's a problem with malware or virus on their computer. So he's gonna refer me to hit those repairs. So it'll work out really good.
I see. Oh,
so
very cool.
Education. I'm a big believer in Automobile University. Have anybody heard of Zig Ziglar? He used to talk about Automobile U, especially Pod Nuts. I love listening to podcasts. I used to listen to a lot of them, but I think out of all the computer stuff I listen to now, I pretty much stick to Pod Nuts now. So I don't have time for the Pod Nuts Daily. So, and I'm getting a lot out of it. The other one's basically repeats of what you guys are talking about. I know some of the guys mentioned the stuff they hear on the other podcasts. I used to listen to Paul Thurrott's Windows Weekly, which I like that. That was a pretty good one. I just don't have time for that one. It's just too long, too much stuff. Leo talks too much. Paul talks too much. And I just want to get to the point. That's what I like about Pod Nuts.
Cool.
So, website learning. I've got a couple of things. If you guys were interested in messing with some firewall and learning about security stuff, from this little firewall, I found it. It's at, what's the name of the company again?
WatchGuard.
Yeah. WatchGuard's got a great bunch of great videos on there. I made a tiny URL for you guys. It's tinyurl.com/6ATMX4K. That'll take you to their link of all their videos they have on there. I watched a couple, and they're actually pretty good. Talk about what malware is and how to create malware, how to create a bot to search people's website and cause problems and all that stuff, how to create that. That's just really cool. So I watched a couple of videos. It was really well done. A little bit of humor to some of them. Really enjoyed them. So
they do a whole black and white deal.
Yeah, they just stuff like that. Yeah. They've got the guy who's kind of just being nice and calm, talking about, you know, this is what a bot does, and the bot, this is the kind of damage it causes. And in the background, it shows like the same guy, you know, doing like an evil character, like, you know, with tattoos and a big earring and the spiky hair, kind of like he's hacking, you know, with his big toxic symbol on his laptop and, you know, stuff like that. It just kind of pokes fun at the whole concept.
It's very professionally done, it looks like.
Yeah, it's really good. Another list. I'm glad you guys mentioned the HP Learning Center. I like that one. I also made another tiny URL list of some other ones that I've looked at, and they're all on this list. A couple ones I like. Again, that tiny URL is 46TU65. And that's just a list of great learning e-learning centers that are free, including a couple universities that are actually offer free classes you can take. And you just do them online at your own pace.
Wow. Very cool.
So, Steve, I'm going to knock on you a little bit, but I took your advice on buying a Mac. I bought a Mac dedicated exclusively for one week. Was not impressed. Didn't care for it. So now it's just a glorified paperweight on my desk in there. I actually put my little netbook on top of it. So,
what did you get? A MacBook?
I got a MacBook. Yep, I got the MacBook. I got a little G4, a little older one. You said get a used one. I actually, because I have a lot of the Mac software, I went ahead and did the upgrade to the latest one it would take. It was 10.5 point something. I can't remember what it was. Put it on there and worked fine. I like some of the features. I like how easy it is to install applications. That's a great concept. Just drag and drop. I like that.
Yeah.
My first laugh was when I tried to install something and it popped up asking for a password. It took me back to the Vista days when Vista was being bashed by Mac, and they said, you know, you're sure you want to talk to this PC? Are you sure you want to talk to this? You sure you want to do this? You know, you have to click OK, talk about the user account controls. And I started cracking up laughing, like, well, you got to put a password in the Mac and click OK. So I thought that was just kind of funny. So,
yeah.
But to me, it felt a lot like using Ubuntu, and I do like Ubuntu a lot. I actually dual boot on my desktop PC between Ubuntu and Windows 7. I like them, so I have no problem with that. And it's okay to tinker with. It's nice to have there. So a customer calls me up and says, "Hey, my Mac is acting funny. Right. What do you think?" And I can actually look at the screen and walk it through with them. That does help. But yeah. Other than that, as an everyday use, honestly, my Android phone does just about as much features as I was using on the Mac. So
yeah, you know, it also depends on what you do on the thing.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes I'm a gamer and a programmer and tinkerer, and
right.
I just feel like I'm limited on the Mac. I can't do gaming. I can't do any programming on it. I'm limited by that.
Right.
So it's like, okay.
Those are all things that I don't do.
Yeah. So again, shout out for TechNet. Love it. I let my subscription run out till Windows 8 comes out officially. My favorite feature out of it is getting all my computers on Windows 7. And I love my Windows Home server. That's what the noise you're hearing next to me. I'm sitting next to my Windows Home server.
It's pretty phased out. We got the noise out of there. So
it's nice. Okay, good. Yeah. It's just the big fan I have on the side, and I've got a couple of hot swappable hard drives, SATA hard drives with little fans, and that's what you're hearing, the fans on the hot swap hard drives.
Sweet.
So I've got a little bit of storage. I've got a couple, 2 terabytes, couple 1.5 terabytes, and so I got a little bit of storage, but I have all my DVDs burned to it, ripped to it. I stream it all up to my big screen TV upstairs over the gigabit network, up to a little HP Media Center PC. And it's great being able to just use the Windows Media Center device. And again, Control 4 works with it because it's IR driven. So I have one remote that controls my PC, my DVR from Comcast, my VCR, or not VCR, just my VCR, my DVD player. even controls the Xbox 360 because I can control it with the remote. It just replaces all those remotes. Works great. So
wow. What do you think about Windows 8, by the way, since you brought that up?
Well, I was going to bring that up. I got a link on here to the Windows 8 one I used. I did it as a VM. I'm not impressed with it. They're definitely gearing it towards the touchpad interface,
right?
Touchscreen. It does at least let you go back to the desktop look, but as soon as you used to click on start and be able to list your programs, but as soon as you hit start, you go back to that GUI of all those little
tiles.
I'm like, I just don't think I can get used to it. So
yeah.
And I load. I said, okay, fine. I'll try some of the programs on the tile. I tried the little game, the little robot game. Played it for about 5 seconds. Okay, now how do I get out of it? I couldn't figure out how to get out of it. So I figured I'm going to have to go watch. You know, I'm going to have to watch the the show and how they present the program, how to get back out of it. Because I end up doing alt tab to get out of it. And the program's still running in the background. I can't shut it down.
Wow.
So, like, I don't know how to do it. So, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I still have to mess with it. I like the demo that I did see on the video. I didn't use it yet, but I like the demos for a tablet. It's awesome for a tablet, it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I agree. So I wanted to give I put a little note in here. Pod nuts cost money. It does, but it's worth it. It's an investment. I'm going to give a list. I purchased Fab's Auto Backup. Use it all the time. Love it. Great. Tim Sir, if he hasn't got it, you better get it.
Okay.
Tech Site Builder. It made my website look a lot better than what I had. A lot of my customers like it. Little tweaks I put on there that kind of made it a little personalized, made it very easy to work with, and it's very easy for me to go back and just add things to it if I want to. So good. I appreciate that. Good job on that.
Thank you for buying it.
I purchased Lalo's tech repair videos. I'm glad because somebody talked about WSUS, the offline updater. I wasn't quite sure. I went to the website how to figure it, but when I heard you talking about Lalo's, I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna go ahead and get Lalo's. That for me was the biggest sell, was the WSUS offline updater. That really helped me out, especially a lot of my customers out here that are like on satellite and they get really low speeds and are limited on a bandwidth. That works well for me. And
so, good. You know what? He's been working hard. He's almost ready to release his updated version of all the videos. So it's
nice. Looking forward to it. I'll definitely jump on that.
Sure.
Originally purchased a laptop repair videos first when you first got them out. Yeah, I wasn't doing laptops then. And it gave me confidence to actually do the laptops. So I do a lot of those. And actually, I do a majority of my work, I would say, is laptops.
Good.
I do up and down from the inside all the way to the hardware and software.
That, you know what, the way you put it there, it gives you confidence to start repairing laptops. I think that's the biggest thing you get out of it. I mean, because there's guys that email me, go, do you have a video for my Toshiba P525? Right. I'm like, no, but just watch all of these. Just watch them all, okay?
And
then they go, oh, I get it. There's a pattern, and I could fix this, even though I don't own that machine that Steve's working on.
Right. The concept's the same.
Yeah,
right.
That's the thing.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely purchase Daniel Hand's computer repair business book. He's got some paper that comes with it. I actually already purchased the TechNibbles computer business kit before I got his paperwork, so I already had his TechNibbles in place before it. But it's pretty decent. Got some great ideas on his paperwork to go through. I implemented some of the ideas from his paperwork into mine to tweak it.
Sweet. He just released version 2.
Did he? It's a very short read. But I tell you what, everything I've done in my business, I can totally connect with him down to being in the military background, because I was military, having a family, trying to monitor all this stuff, balance all this stuff. I totally connected with him personally, one-on-one. Again, he emailed me back and forth, really gave me some feedback on the website, gave me some ideas for my business about, you know, doing some advertising on Craigslist.
And you're talking about Dan. You're talking about Dan on this one. Dan Hand.
Yeah, okay. Dan Hand, yeah. Yeah, so it was great. So definitely get that book if you own a business and want some tips. If you read it and say, I'm already doing that stuff, great. But at least you can realize that you're getting some confirmation that what you're doing is working well.
Yes.
So that's definitely a good one. And definitely another shout out to him about the, I don't know how you phonetically say it, ACRBO, but the Association of Computer Repair Business Owners. If you're an owner or even a small tech, go ahead and throw it on your site. It looks great. People ask about it. It looks like you have some sort of certification. It must be important somewhere.
It's a great logo.
But it looks good. So, and again, I want to say,
before you get to the last one, I just want to clarify because I did interject in there. What I was talking about version 2 is the TechNibble business kit was just released.
Oh yeah. I saw that before I came out here. So I'm trying to remember what it was called.
Yeah. And of course Dan's book is constantly updated. So there is all the newest stuff in there too. So both are good. Awesome things. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So make sure you use the Podnuts links for those. So you get credit. So
yes, please.
Yeah. So, but I want to say thank you to all the Podnuts community, all the guys have been on here, and especially you, Steve. You're awesome. I'm glad you did this. I seriously wouldn't have taken my business as far as it has if I hadn't heard somebody else get on there and say, hey, this is what's going on in my shop. I'm like, you know, I can totally relate. And it helped me to say, I'm not the only one here. And that's what I think, one of the guys, we become Rambos in this business, especially if we're by ourselves. And we think we're the only ones. We, you know, especially those customers, we fix the computer and then something else goes wrong and you go, oh, crap, what did I do?
Yeah.
I'm you know, and you go back, you can't figure it out, you feel stupid, and you know what? I got to the point, I have no problem telling a customer I don't know,
right,
but I will figure it out.
Yes.
I have no problem Googling in front of a customer and saying, we'll figure this out together.
Yeah.
I am not the guy, I'm very social. I'm the guy who sits there and hangs out with them, chats with them. I know their dogs, their kids, how many kids they have, where they got married, and you know. There's nothing else to do while you're, you know, running WSUS offline updater. There's nothing to do, but they hang out and chat.
Well, that's a great thing to have, a great quality to
have. And they love it. And they love it because they know you care about them. And I don't just do it just because I'm making a buck off them. I do it because I really do care about them.
Right.
I care about, that's why I'm in the business, because I want to serve people. I want to help. So
that's fantastic. That's great.
Let's see. I got more stuff here. I guess we could save it for another show if we make it easier. I don't know how much more time have we got?
I only have like one voicemail and an email, so why don't you go for a little bit? Why don't you go for like an hour, like 7 more minutes, and then see how far we get.
Okay, great. We hit a couple things already. I talked from Leaf from anypcservice.com. Mm-hmm. Leaf is awesome. Shout out to you, buddy. Thank you so much. He's doing a great job. I'm proud of him, what he's doing in his business. Love his website layout.
Yes.
I love the fact he's willing to give back to the Podnuts community. He says he had guys call him from all over the country, and he's been chatting with and encouraging them and all that. So, Leaf, good on you, buddy. Appreciate it. So, anyways, I ran into an issue. I thought maybe you guys, this is some tips that I have. Ran into an issue that I couldn't resolve. A customer wanted Office 2003 on his new Windows 7 64-bit operating system.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't activate. It kept giving me an error. So I found just out of a whim, I thought, well, what if I run it as administrator? Go in and do it manually, run the Word or Excel, whatever I was using, run it as administrator, and it activated. It fixed it.
Wow.
So
good tip.
Just a little tip. Windows 7 Service Pack 1 upgrade tip. Ran into this issue with a customer. They called me up. They couldn't get their media player to work. They're trying to click on an MP3. Couldn't get it. Wouldn't come up. And they also couldn't get Internet Explorer to come up on a link they had on their desktop. After you do the Service Pack 1 upgrade, run IE for the first time and run Media Player for the first time, because it treats it like it's a new installation. So just do that. It'll save you a phone call.
Nice. These are very Podnuts Daily type tips. You're bringing me back.
Yeah. Well, I've got a list here for you. So
cool. Keep them coming.
Let's see. Delete OEM partitions. I keep forgetting how to do that. So I want to give a little shout out to Jared Heinrich's site. It's a tinyurl.com 64LTXDZ. It's basically where you get like a laptop or a hard drive in. And the customer wants to nuke it. They want to put Windows 7 on it. It had Vista on it, but they don't want the original boot partition. So I always forget how to do that and wipe it out. And that's just a really quick to recover that little, you know, whatever it is, 4 to 8 gig that's being used up, and that gives them more hard drive space. So
cool.
Had an issue. Ran CombiFix a while back. Got the OpenWith virus. Did CombiFix. Took it off. They cleaned it up. Did a great job. The only problem is it messed up all the registry stuff. I posted this in the forums here a while back, and I think somebody else on the show here a while back also mentioned it. But Doug Knox, www.dougknox.com, he has a bunch of tips on there. He's got a little registry fix that cleans all those. He has one that cleans all the registry associations and puts them back where they're supposed to go. But that's one I would definitely check out. He's got some other stuff on there for little stuff for XP. Like to see him update the site a little bit to more stuff with Windows 7 and Vista. But he has some good tips on there. Hopefully he's still running that site and doing a good job at it.
Cool.
So, recent Podnuts episode, Call That Girl, said that most techs use a program called WinXP_EXE_fix. I've never heard of that, so I'm going to give it a try. I don't know if it's like a file that comes with it with XP or if it's one you have to download.
I'm not sure.
I'm not either. So, and let Call That Girl know she got $100 coming soon. I'm going to buy her book here as soon as I get the money up.
Okay.
So, Windows 8 developer preview. We talked about that. Kind of give you a feedback. I'll give you the link that I use to set up on using VMware. Has all the links to all of them, to all the ISOs, and also a link to VMware if you don't have an account with them. Gives you just the VMware player. That's again tinyurl 4YA5D3N. So go ahead and check it out.
These will all be posted in the show notes, guys, just so you know.
Great. Okay, good. A little tip as an electrician, two computer guys, power strips. They do not protect against lightning. A lot of people that we actually have the second highest lightning strike area up north from here, where a lot of my customers are up in Palmer Lake.
What did you say? The second most, right? Because I think I'm the first, right?
Florida's the first, yeah. Yes. There's a place in Florida's the first. Yeah, but it's like a battle zone up there. It's crazy. But people get struck by lightning all the time. Not people, but their equipment and houses. Yeah. All that get damaged from it. They think, well, I went to Best Buy and bought a Belkin surge protector. Said it was good for 100,000 joules.
Right.
Well, shows a lightning bolt in the box. Well, that's that's marketing. Okay. That's not the deal. If you read it, it says they're not covered by act of God, issues.
Really?
You have, if you want to have something for lightning, you have to call an electrician. It's something you have to put for the whole house. It's called a lightning arrestor. It goes in the panel. It's pretty easy. Basically it plugs in like, it just plugs into the panel like a breaker. If it's a newer one. And they're about $500, but they will check the house for lightning. And a lot of times if you have in a high lightning area, like where you're at, Steve, mm-hmm. If you're a homeowner, you can call your homeowner's insurance. And a lot of times they'll pay for it because it saves them having to pay for damaged equipment in your home.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because it was just last night when we were doing Linux for the Rest of Us. The lightning must have been like not far because it was blinding and the loudest thunder I ever heard. I lost power for like 2 minutes. Actually, I lost power for like 5 seconds, but all my stuff went off. I do not have surge protectors. I don't
surges
have.
Won't do it.
So the only thing you're telling me is don't bypass all the crap, the APCs and everything, and just get the lightning arrestor.
No, I still recommend a surge protector. Surge actually protects the little bulks, especially like in California where they have like brownouts and stuff.
What do you recommend?
I just recommend that you, if you have, you know, don't, it's one of those do as I say, don't do as I do. I don't have a whole house protect the whole, whole house, lightning arrestor, but to get a whole house lightning arrestor, for important systems, like my servers on a UPS, it's just to kind of buffer, like if you have a quick brownout or a quick lightning area where power goes off for a second, that's the only thing I would do. And then I would still recommend the surges because the surges are basically that buffers anything over the 120 volts you should be getting.
Gotcha.
Like if you get a spike of 150 volts just for a quick spike for some reason, you know, a car, you know, crashes into a pole and it causes a surge or something, or they hit a transformer, causes a surge, it'll protect your equipment. That surge will do its job.
Gotcha.
So it is a good idea to still have a surge for those kind of things. So
what brand? I have to pick some up. But
like
what brands and what any models or?
I just like the little cheap Belkin ones.
Okay.
Those work fine.
Great.
And then as far as the UPSs, I just get the little cheap, the 350s. I think the 350 VAs, because my server is a headless server, so all it's running is the hardware inside the PC. There's no monitor or anything plugged into it.
Gotcha.
So it just keeps it up and running so it doesn't crash and I lose data.
Very good. Awesome. Thanks for the advice.
You're welcome. Leaf mentioned two other things the other day in his show when I was listening to it. TechNibble recommended a new tool called D7 from foolish.it. I put a link in the show notes, but if you guys need it. Leaf also mentioned Secunia. But she didn't recommend the software, just recommend the manufacturer. It's a program called PSI, Personal Software Inspector, and it works really well. I'd recommend using that. I use it also. It just makes sure you have things like Adobe Readers up to date, any other program in the system. It looks through. It's a nice little quick thing for customers, you know, if they realize their software's out of date. Matter of fact, my next newsletter, I'm actually going to have this link available in my newsletter to my customers. Say, hey, you know, run this program and see if your system's out of date. If you have a hard time updating your programs, give me a call. And there's a job, you know?
Right.
So I'm going to do stuff like that. Love my netbook. Didn't think I'd like it. I got one. I tried on a job one day. I was doing some, one of my small businesses is a candy factory here in town. They're a little mom and pop shop and they're pretty well known. They had me come down there and do some changes on their system. They went from a Quest line to a T1 line.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to have all their network redone. So I need to check some of the ports and plugs. And I'd usually bring my laptop with me, the one I'm on right now. It's a big 17-inch gateway that weighs 150 pounds. But it's nice. Nice laptop, Core 2 doing all that. But it's, you know, kind of a pain to bring it, you know, all the time. I left at the house. And so one of the guys there said, hey, I got a little MSI, you know, netbook. You want to use it just to check ports? I'm like, sure, I'll check it out. That thing was so nice. It was just plug it in real light, run around with it. So that job, I basically did that job for free. I basically got paid for it and went straight to Best Buy and bought me a netbook. So I got a brand new gateway. The model number is LT2802U. First thing I noticed, it was running Windows 7 starter again using my TechNet. I went ahead and upgraded it to a full version of Windows Home Premium. And I also noticed I had 1 gig of RAM. I thought, well, I want more memory in it. I had no idea how to open it. I looked on the forums. It turns out this model was just released. Nobody had anything on it, how to add memory to it and open it up. Did a Google search. Nobody had it. They even called Gateway. They said, that model's so new, we don't even have information on it. I'm like, you guys can't even help me about how to add memory.
Right.
So I said, screw it. I'll take the plunge. I posted in the forums, asked anybody on the forums, Podnuts forums, if they knew anything. Everyone said, you know, maybe there's a couple of places you could look, or, you know, to pop some tabs off or something. There's only two screws in the bottom. So you know what? Nobody's made a thing of the, made a tutorial, so I'm going to do it. So I stayed up really late that night, tore apart mine, and took pictures, made some mistakes, broke some pieces, but I got it figured out. Nothing major that I couldn't break. I took pictures. I've gotten a lot of great feedback from the guys. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the feedback. So I'm getting personal emails about my Gateway Netbook repair guide. Nice. I'm getting emails and also posts on the forums. So if you guys need help with that little netbook, it is hard to open. But once you realize where it's at, it's pretty basic, like any other laptop.
Awesome. Now, so, is that a 10-inch or 12-inch?
It's a little 10-inch one.
Nice. Okay, I know which
one. Yeah, I was looking between this one, the Toshiba, because they had the full-size keys on the little chiclets.
Yeah.
They actually have real keys on them.
Right.
And so this guy's pretty fast. I just popped in a little 4-gig SD card in the side and used it as the Ready Boost, and it really makes a difference.
Oh, good. That's awesome.
So Fastlane Technologies for Christmas is going to buy me a 120 gig SSD to put in there, so I go from 8-hour battery life to 12.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm buying it for myself.
Yeah, I got you.
That's one thing about owning a business. Nice is that you get your write-offs. All your toys are write-offs.
Exactly.
But you still got to make that money, my wife says, but whatever.
True.
So, I'm a maximum PC reader. Anybody likes those kind of things. I kind of like it. It's got a good balance between gaming gear and repair stuff. There are podcasts I listen to occasionally, and it's okay. I'm not big into the end section. They got one of the guys rants and a lot of profanity and stuff. And yeah, it doesn't move my needle. I got little kids here. I usually listen to stuff in the shop while I'm working, and I've got little kids, and they don't need to hear that stuff. So
yeah, I listened to it a couple weeks ago. It's all right.
Yep. Another little quick tip: don't forget to activate the operating system before it leaves your shop, and things like Office, QuickBooks, and Adobe products. I get lots of phone calls, especially when you leave the job. It kind of sucks, especially if they're far away. Activate them, make sure they're working. So sometimes you have to call Microsoft and just let them know to reinstall. But if you don't do that, it'll save you a trip or save you, because a lot of times they don't understand how to call Microsoft, or you try to do it for them. It's kind of hard to do it.
Right.
So.
Right.
So I got some business tips, but I don't know if we're ready for those, or do you want me to hold off on those? How are you doing?
I'm going to think you're on such a roll.
Okay.
How much more do you think, you have?
10 minutes.
Yeah, let's do it. No problem.
Okay. All right. I'm a fast talker. I'm originally from upstate New York.
And don't rush. We can go longer than 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Number one, if you don't have a business license, get one. You don't have to be a millionaire to get a business license. And here in Colorado Springs, the state of Colorado, costs $10 a year to register your business. I own Fastlane Technologies as a name. It's cheap. You also get the advantage of the business license. You can use it for the tax write-offs. So you could be a sole proprietor. I haven't gone as far as going higher than a sole proprietor, but get it. It's worth it. $10. Then you get the write-offs as a business. You know, like I said, most people think it costs a lot of money to get it state registered, but it doesn't.
Wow. That's cheap.
Remember that service is first. I talked about this earlier. Payment is later. We're out to make money, but our priority is service. Will get us more customers, and the more that the customers get, the more that we'll pay. And I've even had customers that pay me at my hourly rate, pay me $50 to $100 easy. So I have no problem with just making sure that they are first and just put focus on them, and then the money will come. So don't worry about the money piece.
Good tip.
Get insured. If you're doing it out of your house, I know, like me, state of Colorado requires to check your state requirements. If someone comes to your house and you're doing it out of your house, even on the side, and even if you have a state, if you're not even registered with the state, and you're doing it as a hobby, someone falls and trips and falls at your house, breaks a leg, they can sue you and take your side job and your home. It's not that much. In the state of here, it only cost me $16 a month for $1 million coverage, and it's a write-off too.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth it. I bit the bullet finally when I went full time, and when I finally called my agent, he said, "You've been doing this out of your home?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what? You've been doing it illegally. If you got caught or somebody got hurt, you would have lost everything, because you're not allowed to do that unless you have at least a minimum of $1 million coverage on your home as doing it out of your home, even as a hobby."
Wow.
So there is a liability there. So
amazing.
Don't skimp on advertising with business cards and logos. Don't do it. Don't go pull up Word and go into the clip art. I mean, I hate clip art. I hate it. I think it's the most cheesiest looking stuff in the world.
It is.
use something, use somebody professional, barter with them. Say, hey, I'll come. If you can help maybe do a good logo, I'll service your computers for the next month, or right. I'll come and do a free maintenance check on you or whatever. I did that with my guy. He said, hey, give me a shout out in your next newsletter and I'll do your web logo for free. But I'll charge you for the business cards. And so I just paid for the business card.
Wow.
It was really nice to me. He actually only made me paid for was the, was just the printing of the business cards.
Damn.
He didn't have to do that, but he was a really nice guy. So he's a local photographer here and he does all that kind of stuff. So he's a good guy.
Sweet.
What my point is if they look cheap, if you're meaning your logo and your business cards, you will be perceived as cheap and underqualified.
Hmm.
So don't let that happen to you. Say no to work. It is okay. Choose your customers. Like I said earlier, I want the top 20% of the people in my area. I've got some areas I want to hit. They're the top 20% of the Colorado Springs area. I want those people. I don't want the ones that are going to squabble over the pricing at $25 an hour on Craigslist. Let them have each other. Let them fight each other. I don't want them. My first filter for that is my pricing on the website. That's why I usually didn't post my prices before, but I realized that I don't get the sticker shock anymore. They go, hey, okay, I want to pay that. Well, I don't want them. They can go find somebody cheap and get the cheap work. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I started this when I was 15 years old, just as a geek loner, kind of the typical, Revenge of the Nerds movie kind of guy. But I did marry a cheerleader, so I got good kudos there. So
awesome, man. That's awesome.
Anyways, so I would tell my customers the word nerd is profanity. I'm a geek.
It's true.
The other thing I wanted to say is take risks to fix things. Communicate with the customers that you don't know. Be willing to just give it a try. Like I said, I'm fixing the Dell Streak. I'm fixing monitors, laptops, installing cameras, installing AV equipment. Yeah, I mean, I think Steve D talked us a while back saying that he went to a customer's house and they said, you know how to hook up my DVR or something like that, or my VCR or whatever. He said, yeah, I'll hook it up while you're there. And, just include it as part of your rate or whatever while you're there and just do it. Typically, just help them out. They love those little things and they'll refer you to their friends.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite lines is always, when I ask you something, no, but I can research it. Do you know how to do this? No, I could research it.
My little joke is my customers, well, I can check, ask my, my IT department. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, google.com. Last tip as a recent one that I've actually been piddling with, and it's actually working out great. Reach out to other small techs in your area. If you have a small business, they have a small business too. I contacted a guy named Doug at a PC Helper, and he's at apchelper.com. Another guy, he's small like me, does have a home, has a family. We went and met for coffee, and had a good chat. And I need a backup guy. I want to go on vacation. Who's gonna take up my people when they need emergency service?
Right.
So we chatted and talked. I turned him on to Podnuts. So Doug, if you're listening, hey buddy, and hopefully you're welcome to Podnuts and love it. So
thank you for introducing him to Podnuts.
Absolutely. I was gonna talk about my other geeky stuff, but I know we kind of have a little fun here. I'm going to talk about a couple games. Yes. Age of Empires Online free. My wife games with me. She loves it. It's pretty fun. If you like the old Age of Empires, they've actually kind of cartoonized it. Yeah. It's kind of cool. The game I'm playing when I don't have to play with my wife is the Deus Ex Human Revolution. So that's my bang up, shoot 'em, kill 'em, bloody gory game. It's kind of fun to play. And then again, like I mentioned earlier, I have a little Ubuntu P4 machine that's running as a Minecraft server. My 10-year-old son loves to play. I play with him.
Now, as a Minecraft server, what do other people log in and use it?
Oh, I have it just for me and him.
Okay, I guess.
So I don't have it set up to go out. It's just him and I right now. We're using the mine carts to make roller coasters. So he's having a blast doing that.
Man, that sounds awesome.
So, yeah, it's pretty fun. So a demo game, my next purchase of a game. Again, I'm a big Steam fan. The demo game that I tried called Bastion. If anybody hasn't tried it, check it out. It's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of RPGs, but this one is kind of a cartoonish fun style game. It's got a narrator kind of pokes fun at you while you're doing it. Like I was exploring a little piece, just learning how to play the game, seeing what I could, destroy and what I couldn't hit and break and get things. And it said, meanwhile, Bastion, while he's venting his anger or something like that, it was kind of funny because it interacts with what you're doing.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I think it's like $14 on Steam. So anyways, that is my rant.
That's an awesome rant. Look, all this information. I can't believe we give this show away for free. I'm serious.
Well, I've been taking notes ever since I I've been keeping a notepad by my truck while I'm driving, and little ideas and things to, you know, pop up the pod notes, questions people have, and I'll write a little note, and some of them I've had to jot off because they've been answered, because these guys are so great on here. They have the answers, a lot of those things, and that's really good that we're getting feedback too.
Awesome. Yeah, man, keep writing this stuff down and definitely come on another show.
Love to.
All right, well, let me do a voicemail and an email. You want to hang on with me and do this?
Absolutely. Okay.
We have from Jim. He says, Steve, take a look at the latest version of Super Anti-Spyware version 5. It has a whole new look, and I see that they have added some new malware repair and recovery tools. I have not tried them yet, but it looks like a good topic to discuss on a podcast. That's Jim from jimopi.net. So I did take a look at the site, and they do have a new version out. And then somebody sent me an email the other day saying, I think it was yesterday, after Jim's email, saying Super Anti-Spyware got a terrible review on PC. I think it's PCMag.com or PCWorld.com, one of the two. I don't even know if they're merged now. They gave them like 2 stars or something, saying it didn't find much malware and other stuff. So I don't know what's going on with Super Anti-Spyware, but I would recommend you check out the review. I emailed them because they used to be a sponsor of Podnuts. I said, did you read this review? Tell us what's going on. What's going on with this? And I'm waiting for the response on that. So,
yeah, I don't think it was Maximum PC, because I subscribe to them and I read it pretty much faithfully. I haven't seen anything about the review of that.
Yeah, it wasn't Maximum PC. It was either PC World or PC Mag, one of those.
Oh, PC Mag. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep, gotcha.
It was one of those, but you know, I emailed them because I want to know if it was an unfair review or what's going on. So,
yeah, really? Yeah, because I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Works great for me.
A lot of guys do. So just take note of that, guys, and let me know what your experiences are using that. Jim, thanks for the heads up on the new release, and I hope that it's good. I definitely do.
Yeah.
I like those guys. All right, this is from Danny, and this is a voicemail. Let me fire up the voicemail playing device right now. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Danny. Want you to know that I took an old laptop that was just pokey and slow as can be, and it had a whole bunch of stuff, like an outdated piece of antivirus program and all this other business. And I thought, you know, if ever I give this computer away, I don't want any kind of private anything to be on here. Well, I took a CD of Vinix and put it on there and had to really work to get into the boot menu, but I got in there. And now this laptop is running a lot quicker. It has Vinix on there, so now I got a fully accessible talking Linux machine. It's very small, though, so I'll probably just use this for experimental purposes. But anyway, just want you to know that I hope to learn how to subscribe to podcasts on this machine one day. But due to your broadcasts, I've had the motivation to keep plugging away and try this out. Again, this is Danny. Thanks a lot for everything. Bye-bye.
That's a good voicemail. And I actually want to play this on Linux for the rest of us, too. But thank you, Danny, for sending us that. I'm glad we could help you. Yeah, I'm running an older Dell laptop here. That's actually the machine that just played that voicemail is a machine that's running Ubuntu right now. So I'd be liking installing Linux on different machines and making use of them. So what's your experience with Linux, Jeremy?
I love Linux. Like I said, I use Ubuntu. I dual boot it. I have a great time with it. I like playing with it, tinkering with it. I know I'm still a sucker for games. One of my favorite games to play on there when I'm bored is Anagramarama. It's just it's like a bunch of letters jumbled, and you got to make a bunch of words, like Boggle.
Yeah.
So it's just something to piddle with and tinker with. My only experience, and I was mentioned, I like to talk with Dor sometime about this. Every time I do an in-place upgrade, my system always crashes. I can never get it. I have to wipe out, reinstall the latest upgrade. So yeah, that's the only thing about it I don't like. I have problems with that.
Yeah.
So I just, again, I actually have a dedicated little hard drive, a 74 gig Velociraptor, Raptor. It was pulled out of a dead machine. And it's just sitting there using just for Ubuntu Linux, and I dual boot. So even my little, which kind of nice too, I actually use it for testing tools, Linux. On my netbook, take it with me to jobs, and if for some reason I can't connect, the Wi-Fi is a problem, I just want to verify it's not my connection or issue with them. I can just boot into Linux and verify it, and it comes right up. So that at least lets me know that it's not a problem with that. And I usually reboot. It was just a Windows issue or whatever, or something flaky. Right. So it is nice to have that on hand.
Yes. So. Yeah, Linux.
But I do like Linux.
It's all. I mean, I used to. I can't tell you the number of times I used Linux 5 or Nopix 5.1 at my shop to recover data that Windows could not see on machines. I used it all the time. It was like my go-to data recovery.
Oh heck yeah!
Get the information off the machine device. Software. So.
Yeah, most of the tools that I have in my little sleeve here are actually Linux distros, and that's what they have on them to boot up and do a lot of the stuff. You know, they don't have to boot into the machine.
Right.
So, yeah, Linux, I think, is the next best thing next to Apple OS.
Cool. That's awesome. If anybody else wants to send us a voicemail, definitely do it at 7076-PODNUT on a regular phone. 7076-PODNUT is the phone number. If you want to send us an email, which we do need more of, we've extinguished them all again, send them to mail@podnuts.com. We will get them and read them, and hopefully you guys will do that. Let's win some podcast awards. Go to podcastawards.com.
Yes,
For your favorite technology podcast, put in Podnuts Daily. For your favorite entertainment podcast, put in Nuts at Night. And if you haven't listened to Nuts at Night in a while, listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You think we should do that?
I already did it.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Let's win. We deserve to win. I think we do. I think we have the community to win.
I agree.
So do that if you like Podnuts. Go over there, vote. I think you only get one. It's only one time. It's not something you have to do every day. So that would be awesome. I'd like to even just see us be nominated. It would be cool. So
absolutely.
Thank you guys for that. Jeremy, you're awesome, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Steve. You're awesome too, buddy. I really appreciate you. And instead of using my email address on my website, you can shoot me an email. If you want to have any questions or want to chat or anything or connect, you can either call me. I pick up my phone. The other thing you can do is my email is fastlanetech@gmail.com.
Are you on Google Plus?
I'm on Google Plus.
Awesome. All right. Well, I have a feeling we'll be definitely hearing more from Jeremy. I'd love to have you back on. So are you up for that?
Sure. I'll start saving some notes up. And then when I realize you're a little show on guests or a little short on guests, so if I can get some notes together, maybe I'll try to get on soon, or otherwise I'll just save some more notes and come on later.
Awesome. It's fantastic. Thank you very much again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Yes. And I also want to thank all you guys who are tuning in live, downloading, watching on the Roku perhaps. It's all good stuff. Thank you for that. Hope you're getting a lot out of the show and hope you enjoyed it. That's it for Podnuts Daily for today, and we'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.